It's good. I check myself out. Bud, the eye? Really? Quit it. You're terrifying.
His video went viral, and it was like he had over 1 million views on it. And I was like, yeah, but that's not what going viral means. Going viral is when you have small outreach and your video explodes. So right. I was like, you could have zero outreach and get 10,000 views, and that would be like, holy shit. Like, right. That video went viral.
Right.
Like, the Chewbacca mom had no, like, YouTube presence or anything.
Yeah.
That shit went viral. Now, that did hit millions and millions of views, but even if it had only hit 10,000, I would have called that going viral because you have no outreach,
right?
And yet all these people saw your shit. Similarly, Eric Thomas has, like, fucking 6 million followers, and I was like, so, like, when he gets 1 million views, that's not that big of a deal to
me. Yeah, one in six is watching.
Yeah. Like, that means he's actually, like, statistically, he's not actually doing that well, and it's certainly not viral, because if it was viral, hundreds of millions of people would see his shit, because his outreach dictates that every one of his videos should get at least 1 million.
Right.
And so, like, same thing with Kind of Funny. Like, most of their stuff hits in the, like, 500,000 range.
Right.
Where, so, like, for us, if one of our videos hit 500,000, it would be like, that shit went viral as fuck.
Like, yeah, that's like, insane. That's crazy.
Yeah. But for them, like, that's a typical thing. And so, like, if one of their videos hits 800,000, I wouldn't call that going viral. I would say that video did well for them.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Speaking of which, they fucking, there's that fucking Breathe University thing that Matt wants me to join. Has,
what is that?
Okay, so Breathe U, okay. In case you guys have been watching, let's just remember.
Oh my god.
This is Two Guys with Raging Goals. I'm Mikey and this is Adam, and every Friday we bring you a conversational podcast where sometimes we just start without doing the open. And one of us brings a topic to the table and then we discuss it for your enjoyment, or we ramble on until we find something to talk about.
Yes. Absolutely.
If you like that, you can head over to Facebook or YouTube.com. Check us out at Two Guys with Raging Goals. You can also head over to patreon.com/twoguysraging and throw us a couple bucks. Keep the lights on. Keep the rambles coming.
For sure.
Life coaches. Okay, so, talking about Breathe University.
Breathe University.
Love you, Matt.
Yes.
But Breathe University is this, like, the idea is that you surround yourself with all these ambitious people who are trying to do the same things as you, like, be successful in business, no matter, like, whether it's their own business or something else. Like, and it's all set up by Eric Thomas. You pay a certain amount of money. Eric Thomas is a motivational speaker.
Okay.
You pay a certain amount of money, and you get access to, like, different talks, different speeches, phone calls, whatever, limited access to Eric Thomas and different coaches throughout BU, Breathe University. It's expensive as all shit, though. And okay. Essentially what you are doing is getting a life coach. Like, that's essentially what this
okay.
is. Like, and there's more, so you have more tools and more resources because it's not just one person. You do have one person who's, like, coaching you, apparently, but, like, you have all these resources of, like, very talented people. And there's a lot of success stories about this Breathe University, apparently. But, like, one of the things on there was, like, they were doing a training on how to make a video go viral. And, like, Matt shows me this, and I haven't talked to him about this, but, like, when he shows me stuff like that, it makes me want to be involved with it even less. Because there is no, like, yes, there are, like, tricks to make your video go viral. So, like, using half-naked girls as your pick, using, like, suggestive titles.
Right.
But we know that stuff.
Right.
Like, we actually went to a class for those sorts of things, too, called VidCon, where we learned those sorts of things specifically for the media that we are doing.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not how I want to go viral.
Yes. Like, yeah, so the problem is that once you do that, you kind of have to keep doing that.
Right.
To keep your reach.
Yeah.
Right? Or you have to do that a number of times, and then eventually you'll get to the point where you've got like a dedicated fan base, and then you have to do those things, you can drop away from that. But at the end of the day, that's not exactly what I wanted to be known for.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I think
like,
about...
And it comes off as very like...
ingenuine?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't feel authentic about like, I don't want to create something. Like, I'm not doing this because I want to see it blow up.
Right.
Like, I'm doing something that I really care about, and I love having these conversations, and like, I like us like talking through things.
Right.
And I really enjoy that, and I enjoy the people we get to interact with. So like, I'm not doing it I want us to be very successful. I want
that'd
us
be
to
great.
Be super
yes.
successful. I love it if our reach continues to grow and like eventually like we could work for a company like Kinda Funny or Gimlet or something. Like yes, all of those
all
things
over.
I want. I want that success.
For sure.
But I don't measure the success as we go viral, and that's like, to me that seems like you're working to be big instead of like working on something you love and hoping and
right,
working.
Right, because at the end of the day, that's what we started this for.
Yeah. Yeah.
We started this not thinking that it would even get
like 30 years.
Right. Like we didn't even think that would happen. Now we're in a much different space, but like keeping that mindset.
I don't wanna I feel like it would be weird to work on something to make it go viral. Like
yes.
Wait, no, like, that's like if you were making, the way that it sits with me is, like, if you made a movie, and, like, you're making a movie not because you care about the story and you care about the art of it, but you craft the story in a way that you know it will sell well.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't want, like, that's fine, like, and if it was a company I just, like, had a stake in or something, like, I would just, like, I own part of Pixar.
Right.
Listen, like, the good stories, yeah, that shit sells, but, like, we're gonna edit this bitch down and put trailers out and stuff to make this the most popular movie for all people of all generations, and, like, everyone's gonna want to see this movie. Like, I get that mindset if you're detached from it, but, like, I'm working on, like, I don't want to call what we're doing art, but, like, I don't want to work on something to make it try to be popular. Like, that's not... The goal isn't to be popular, and the goal isn't to create something that is, like, it almost feels like mass marketed, or, like, it's going to appeal to all audiences, and that's
what you can
do.
It does, and
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, so, one of the things, like, if... Okay, so, in my mind, right, I might be wildly mistaken, but in my mind, like, to me, I feel like if we want to build an audience, because that's what we want to build.
Yeah.
We don't want to just be seen.
Yeah.
We want to be heard. And have like some sort of a rapport with people. So when you're doing things like that, like then it becomes just being seen.
Yeah, and it almost
and
becomes
so it
like a
takes,
business.
It
kind of
that. Yeah, it kind of dilutes what the actual point is for us.
Yeah, and I could see myself not enjoying it anymore, because, like, what I enjoy is the meat of what we do, right?
Right.
Like, the lighting and the sound and all that shit and, like, the editing, all of those things are, like, secondary.
Right.
But I feel like if you were trying to make videos go viral or you, like, if that was our end result, like, we're just trying to get outreach, like,
right.
Then the content isn't as important. It's
right.
Not, like, and to my example of, like, movies, like, studios don't necessarily think like the content of the movie is important. It's how can I sell it? How can I market it? How can I, like, what are we going to do to make this the most marketable thing possible? And that's where the energy is and where your, like, time goes, your energy flows, right? And so, like, I want to put my time and energy into the content and not into the, like...
success.
Yeah, like,
sort of
how,
like,
how can I build... So, but because then it's not... about us building a podcast that we care about. It's about building, like, I don't want to say crap, but like it's like us, like, we are no longer working on conversations and cool stuff like this. We're working on the like, okay, but how are we going to sell that?
How are we going to market like how can we influence the algorithm to like properly
this content bring that doesn't matter anymore and this is what we want to focus on. And like, it's important to know that side of the business and like work hard at that. Like, like you don't want to just shortchange yourself either.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
there are things that we changed over the course of doing this show to influence that.
Yeah, but I don't want that to be our focus. Like, that helps us. Like, we people want to be successful.
It's like brand managing, right? Like, brand managing versus like outreach managing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, we just want to be recognized when people see our logo again, see our videos again, or see us again. They're gonna correlate the two, but it's not necessarily about being the biggest thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I don't even know if that's where
PewDiePie losing his fucking mind. Yeah. By the way, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Losing his goddamn shit.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is off the rocker.
Well, he's been kind of off the rocker for a while, and like, and that's one of the reasons why, like, I don't want to do that, because those people who lightning strikes for them, right? And they build this audience, and then they have this audience, they're talking with this audience, they quickly lose sight of reality.
Yeah.
And, like, don't understand that, like, you make videos, like, granted, yes, at millions of views, you're probably going to quit your day job, and you're going to just focus on that. Yeah. And, like, once you start dropping in views, that negatively impacts your...
Yeah, like
your pocketbook.
That's got to be tough.
But like, it's kind of your fault. Like, you thought you could go out there and just make content forever and ever on your own in this environment that has historically, since it's been launched, YouTube, has been very up and down with users.
Yeah.
And like, so... Yeah.
Like, you can build a community. Like, I think of Kind of Funny. Like, they have a ride or die community.
Yeah.
But like... it's still finicky to a point. Like,
yeah.
I am like an OG Kind of Funny subscriber. Like, before they were a company, I was following these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I still don't catch everything. Like, I don't watch every video. Like,
yeah, like, I don't watch every video. I do. I listen to every single one of their podcasts.
Yeah, I don't listen to every one either. And like, I catch less of Gamecast than I do of their other show.
Right.
Game Over Gravy. And like, I've never watched any of the Sex and Love stuff. Tim and Nick have done. There's lots of stuff. Like, Colin had started a new show on Twitter.
Oh, Colin was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen that in a long time now.
I never watched that.
They were like, like, the first one I saw was really funny. But then, it just kind of, like, filtered off and whatever. So, like, my point is like, I'm a pretty big fan, I think. But I'm not even that invested. So, like... I'm sure there are tons of people like me in that community that are like, yeah, I'm ride or die with these guys, but I don't see everything.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you create that, and that's what you live off of, and now all of a sudden, like, when you don't get views, that's super negative for you, and then that can send you into just a fucking depression spiral, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, especially because you're investing a lot of your... creating this content, like, it is kind of, it's exhausting in that it takes a lot of your time to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
To edit, to export, to upload, to do all
and like ours
things.
Is pretty
and, like,
simple compared to what a lot of people do. Like, we don't have stop cuts or anything like that. Ours is just a long form video.
Like, when you think about people who do daily vlogs, where they vlog their life every single day, and they upload a video of that day every single day with jump cuts, with editing, with whatever.
Yeah. If I was to go back to vlogging, I would only do live.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how I could ever, like, editing those videos when we were doing the fucking, like, show around Perrysburg and stuff, and, like, me and Sarah going out and doing things, like, those edits took for fucking ever because, like, I had to piece it all together. Like, you gotta take it all off my phone, throw it onto a computer, then move all the things around, then edit it all, then edit it, like, with sound, and then lighting, and all that stuff, and then cut things up.
Yep.
And then export that video from, like, the file, the editor, or whatever.
Right.
To a format that could then be exported to YouTube, and then imported, and, like, I was just like, and those were fucking fucking 5 minute videos.
Yeah.
And like they would take me like 3-4 hours to do, and like I don't have the best editing software, obviously, and like we don't for this podcast, but like I can't imagine people who do that much vlogging, like every day you're a daily vlogger, like holy fuck, that's dedication.
Yeah. Yeah. Those people literally don't have lives. There's this family YouTube group that was like, they were in, I think, the second wave of YouTube's big monetization.
Yeah.
Right? And it was Shay Carl and his family.
Okay.
The Shaytards. And so they did daily vlogs.
Oh.
And so that was Shay Carl and his wife following their kids around, syncing all of that video up, editing and uploading, all of those things, right?
Yeah.
Every single day for like, I think it was like 2 or 3 years, right?
God.
And like eventually it came to a point where like they just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, no.
Like
kill myself.
Yeah, like they just, you would not have time for anything other than just vlogging, and then you would go into a dark corner of your home and just edit.
Well, like, and we've talked about that too. Like, I'm sure they ended up running into things where like Adam and I don't get that much time together, except when we're podcasting. And then like, so we talk these things out, which is like, it's nice because like, we don't get that time to actually talk about these sorts of things.
Right.
But then like, it is still about the podcast.
Right.
And so it isn't like, as much as it might seem like just two friends hanging out, like there is a little bit more work into it and like
right.
characterization and that sort of shit. And so like, I'm sure as a family doing that stuff, like, okay, yeah, you spend your whole time with them, but you didn't actually really interact. There was no genuine interaction between you two or emotion or anything like that. It's all about the show.
When you think about like sitting down next Friday and this episode, well, not this episode, but an episode goes live, and then you watch it, and there's so much in there, so much in an hour.
Yeah.
That you're like, I fucking said that.
I can't tell you guys how many times, like, something will come up, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, I forgot we talked about that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Holy shit, I can't believe it. Oh, man, I shouldn't have fucking said that, but I did.
I've tried to start referring people back to our podcast, by the way, when I'm in, like, day-to-day conversations. Like that.
No, seriously, I did that the other day.
Yeah.
When there was the Ohio State shooting.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I was like, okay, so I'm gonna give you my opinion here in about 5 seconds, okay? And I rattled it off, and I was like, but if you want the extended version...
check out my podcast. And I did that the other day. I forget what I was talking to somebody about. Saturday morning cartoons.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We were talking about Saturday morning cartoons, and I was like, actually, just check out my podcast. Like, I'll send you the episode. Like,
you'll know everything.
You'll know all the ones that I watch.
You'll know all the things about me that you didn't want to know, and the things you're asking questions about. So
I'm like,
great.
I'll save us a bunch of time. We don't even have to have this interaction. Go watch my podcast.
Really, it's gonna save me time. It's gonna waste your fucking
and
time.
And actually, I have a podcast about
also,
that too.
Also, go to patreon.com/youguysraging. Oh God!
That way, if there's one on there that I need to refer you to, you can get to that too.
I'm a monster, monster.
But anyways, all this shit going viral, like trying to teach yourself how to go viral and whatever, like it makes me want. Like I don't feel the need to have a life coach in my life. Like, and I don't think I ever make great decisions all the time or something like that. Like I'm sure I could. There would be value added to that. I'm gonna knock this shit out of this. But like, what do you think it is that makes people feel the need for those sorts of things? Because like, so like with our
I've got my life very well put together. So I can't even.
I disagree.
I can't even.
Like,
I can't even begin to understand that line of thinking. I'm just kidding.
But that's my thing. Like, so like. I feel like my life's a little bit out of sync right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm newly single.
Right.
What up, camera?
Hey, camera.
Do you need some lens?
Stupid.
And, like, that's, it's different than any other breakup I've ever had, because it's, like, not, like, neither party, like, hated each other. Like,
yeah. We just kind of walked away from it.
Yeah, we just walked away from it for other reasons and, like, and are still friends, and that's what it is. But, like, it is, like, this is the first time I've lived on my own in my entire life, because I either lived at home or with my brother,
yeah,
or in Pennsylvania, or with a girlfriend. Never lived, or down in the dorms.
Right.
At IU. Never have I lived by myself until now. And yeah. So, like, while I would say things are maybe not as, like, shored up and, like, on the right path as they were maybe 6 months ago,
yeah,
like, there's much more unknown right now than there was maybe 6 months ago in my life.
Yeah.
I don't feel the need for a life coach. Like, I don't feel the need to have somebody, like, pay somebody to tell me how to put my life together. Like,
no.
And
some of that is because, right? Because I'm the same way. I don't feel like I need a life coach just because, one, I don't know when the fuck I'd meet with them.
Like, I don't know. You gotta come to Target?
Right. Like, you want a job? Like, what?
You wanna come sling Starbucks while you talk to me?
Yeah.
That's what you're gonna need to do.
Yeah.
That espresso machine. Bring the shit out of you.
Boy, oh boy. But no, so like, I don't know when I would talk to them, but beyond that, I am just, I don't know. I kind of like the mystery of life.
Yeah, like
I like to wing it.
Yeah, and that, like, so I'm very similar. Like, I like to wing it, and like, it is strange for me being in a like road unknown kind of path right now, because like, I'm almost 30. Like, my life has been like, while it's been strange and like different than most people's, I think, like, I've still put together a path that makes sense. And so, like, you know, like, whatever, moved out, maybe, well, I didn't move out, people just abandoned me.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But then, like, you know, like, went to college, have a career, engaged, like, all those things, even though maybe it's a different road than some people, like, they're all in the same map. And now it's a little bit different than that. And so while I don't think my life is perfect by any means, I do like to wing it, and I like that, like,
yeah.
I like a little bit of unknown, and I like that I can figure things out.
Yeah.
Instead of I feel like almost saying you need a life coach or you need someone to teach you these things is like being very disingenuous to yourself, because like, that's part of life. That's like,
yeah,
you're
figuring
those
things
out.
Yeah, it's very important. Like that, because like, as difficult as things might be, I'm not saying this to be negative about anybody who wants a life coach.
No,
like,
not at all.
Some people need and want things to be kind of laid out for them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Or like, I know what the problems are.
See that bitch walking by my
what mind. I need to know. Yeah, you are.
Catch the hands.
But I know what the problems are. I don't know how to solve them. Give me some tips. Like, let me know what it is that I can do to fix the problems at hand, or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Or how can I get to that next level? But like, how much? Did you just? Somebody just went fucking 30 miles per hour backward in reverse.
Holy shit!
Running from the bitch who was by your car.
See, I told you she was suspect.
Oh my!
That's some fucked up
God.
Shit. Yeah, and so it's not just like life coaches, right? Like motivational speakers. Like I like watching Eric Thomas videos, especially like when I work out, and I have like I have one of his CDs on my Spotify. And
okay,
like gets me pumped up, feeling good. Like, and I love a lot of the things he talks about, like being a hard worker. He has this whole long speech that he's like, took me 12 years to get a 4-year degree, but I'm coming now. And like, he, you know, he always says, your daddy might own a company, your mama might give you a car, but you will not outwork me. And so like, you might, The end result is, like, you might have a lot of resources and abilities, but I will outwork you. I will work harder than you, and that's what'll put me in a better position. I will wake up at 4 a.m. when you are still sleeping, and I will study for 6 hours for this test, and when you wake up 30 minutes before it because you had a tutor and all this stuff and whatever. So, like, that's kind of his, like, rigmarole, his massive rigmarole, right? And that, like, hard work is what pays off, and execution is important, and that's good for me because that's kind of what I am.
Right.
I'm dumb, but I will work hard.
Yeah. Big old stupid
big old
dude.
Dumb block of rocks here over there.
Oh, my God.
I'll work my ass off.
Yeah.
So, like, that all like jives with me and I like it, but I don't need it in my life to feel motivated. Like, I like those messages sometimes and it's like, oh yeah, this is nice.
Yeah.
But I don't need it. And like some people, I feel like it's very similar, like life coach, motivational speaker, Jesus.
Okay.
They all fall into the same boat as like, I need somebody else to tell me to be happy in my life.
So I'm listening to a TED talk yesterday.
Okay, I was like, right now?
In my head.
Motherfucker needs a life coach.
No, I need electroshock therapy. I hear Pence could work that out for me, actually.
You could probably sign up for that for free.
Probably.
All these government
paid for by Obamacare.
All this money we're just throwing to government. Good job.
So I'm listening to this TED talk and it's called Headspace. And what it's about is, well, it's about a few different things, because the TED talks from NPR really talk about, they'll segment things, right? It'll be like maybe 3 or 4 different speakers. Okay. Have you ever watched a TED talk?
Yes. I think I've only watched like 3 TED talks in my life, but yeah.
Okay. So what it is it'll break it into 3 or 4 different speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Each speaker will get 20 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
So they'll kind of like pull small pieces out of their TED talk,
okay,
and then they'll interview the person about what that they talked about
TED
talk. And so this one about Headspace is all about, it's kind of about depression. It's kind of about, it's all about like the mental inner workings of the mind. And one of the speakers was talking about this thing called, It was either mental hygiene or emotional hygiene, but just talking.
Scrubbing your brain?
Yes. What you do is you attach a hinge here, and then you open your skull cavity and brush your brain.
With a toothbrush.
With a toothbrush.
Get up in there.
Yeah. It's good for you.
Yeah.
So one of the things that they talk about is how people are perpetually negative to themselves about the things that they do. One of the things that he talked about in the TED talk was, say there's like this middle-aged woman who just went through this really bad divorce, wants to go out on her first date, goes out on the first date, is sitting with this gentleman, and in the middle of the date, the gentleman stands up and says, I can't do this, and leaves, right? And so then he said, okay, so imagine after that, she calls her best friend, and her best friend says, well, of course he did that. Who would ever want to date someone who's so stupid and ugly and worthless?
This is your best friend?
Right. So that takes you, like, by surprise.
Yeah,
that's your best friend, right? But then he says, okay, so flip that on its head. Imagine it wasn't her best friend, and it was her.
Yeah, saying that about herself.
And that's exactly what people do.
Yeah.
And then they rip themselves down.
Right.
While putting these other people on these exalted pedestals or whatever it is in their life. And so I guess my grand point for this is that I feel like I used to have that problem a lot, right? And not just me, like, I'm not saying that I had that problem because of anything that I was surrounded by necessarily, but I had that problem, and now I've got this wonderful tool where I get to talk things out in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And like, now all of those small things, they don't get to me.
Yeah.
Right? And like, I feel like I can articulate my thoughts a little bit better now, like face to face, because I'm able to do a practice run here in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And so like,
yeah, I agree with that. Does
that make sense? Like,
yeah, it does.
Because now I feel like when I'm talking through a problem or trying to find a solution to something, I'm talking through it with someone else, like, I'm able to share those messages that, like, I never could have shared before.
Yeah.
I'm able to make myself a little bit more vulnerable than I ever was before I ever had this tool.
Yeah, I feel like it's made me more coherent, too. Like, like, I'm bad about, like, I jump from piece to piece to piece when I talk normally.
Yeah.
And so I'm much more linear.
Yeah, and it's like. and it's really odd because, like, when we started this podcast, it was going to be a show kind of about nothing, right?
Yeah.
Like, we get a topic and then we go off topic.
Yeah.
Right? That's the idea of the show. And sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we just flip on the camera and we don't have a topic.
Not like now.
Right. But that's not really what the show ended up being.
Yeah.
Because we, like, eventually got into this flow of, like, this is where a conversation begins, and this is the natural arc of the
right,
conversation,
yeah.
And then
and
it comes down,
yeah,
and it's over,
problem.
And then it's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like having these conversations has...
That's been another episode of Two Guys.
Shut the fuck up!
That happened, and
no.
We're doing that? Oh, okay.
No.
I wasn't... Okay.
No, we're not on the down.
I'm not there yet.
So I feel like this has maybe made us look at things a little differently without us really realizing it, because it wasn't probably until 2 months ago that I really realized that, like, there's a measurable difference in the way that I approach
yeah.
conversation with people, you know? And so, like, maybe that's why it is that you feel like you don't need that guidance.
Yeah, I don't, like, so I agree with everything that you were saying there, as far as this, like, changing the way that I talk to people. And it has helped, like, at work and, like, all kinds of things, like, just doing this show. But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I've never been the type of person, like, I've never had, like, self-doubt. And, like,
yeah.
I grew up, like, I overweight, like, pretty poor. Like, but for whatever reason, I didn't, like... It wasn't that I was, like, blissfully unaware of these things or, like,
yeah.
whatever. But, like, I was never the type of person who, like, got down on myself
yeah.
about things. And so it's weird for me when I like, run into people like that who are like, oh, yeah, well, like, I just don't know how I'm ever going to do that or something. I'm like, just do it.
Well, and that's the other issue, right? So when you think about, okay, so you and I had very different childhoods.
Yeah.
But there is one.
Well, we were both raised in a Lutheran loving home.
Yeah, right.
So.
But there is one, like,
Jesus centered.
There is one string that goes between the two of us.
Is it Jesus?
Yeah, it's the love of the Lord. He shines through all.
For this is the,
through the darkest
night.
Wait,
so, is that Batman?
I don't know. Something. I don't know if it was Two-Face.
No, that was Green Lantern. Darkest.
Right, same.
So, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that's the Green Lantern code, I'm pretty sure.
That's
perfect.
Is there a ring that comes with that?
Yeah.
Now,
special Dakota ring.
I guess the Dakota ring. Oh, Jesus. The common thread is there was a certain level of adversity that we faced, right?
Yeah.
Not just, like, the difficulties of being, like, for me, being gay, or for you being overweight or whatever the fuck it was. Japanese, yeah, yeah.
Japanese in a world where we bombed them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
But there's a certain
all
level.
All matter, Adam.
God damn you. So.
Yeah, I think there is a certain level of adversity there.
Right, and so.
Like,
one
it
of the
builds
things,
your character.
Yeah, yeah, and one of the things that I've been kind of working through for myself is, like, really thinking about the adversity that I faced and knowing where it is that the adversity came from and knowing what that did to me psychologically, right?
Yeah.
'Cause, like, it wasn't until probably, it was probably, like, 3 weeks ago that I really realized, like, what the hell that adversity did to me.
Yeah.
Like, emotionally. It's, like, one of those things that just sneaks up on you. In maybe a conversation or a relationship or whatever it is that really affects you, right? And so when I think about that, I think about not wanting anyone else to ever go through that. I think about why that is that it motivates me to do those things, talk to people, share my message, and share clearly.
Yeah.
Because I don't want people to have to go through those things.
Yeah.
And not necessarily the same things that I went through, but, like, adversity. I don't want you to have to live through that. I want to give you the tools that if you are being faced with adversity, that you're going to be able to work through those things by yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like, so I run into those people, right? Who, and maybe that's it. Maybe like these are people who never came up against like real adversity in their life that they had to
like. Like everybody has difficulties. I'm not trying to say that like I face this like world of difficulties.
I climbed Everest and you're a piece of shit.
Right, but like
Yeah, I just wonder, like, well, and I think it's also your reaction to adversity, right? That makes somebody who, like, I need a motivational speaker in my life to pull my life together.
Right.
Like, because I think some people come up against that thing and they choose to walk away or they choose to give in.
Yeah, like,
whereas,
shut
like,
down, do
yeah, so, like, it isn't that necessarily they didn't come up against adversity either, but it's also your response to it.
Yeah.
Like,
or
they internalize it, like you were saying, and so, like, you come up against something and so you blame yourself,
right?
Whereas like you or myself, like we go up against something and it's like, well, that's not my fault, like this is,
but it is my job to fix it.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Like I still have to address this, but like I'm not going to internalize this. I'm not going to like, my mom walked out on us on Christmas, I didn't think it was my fault, she's a fucking meth head, like,
yeah, right,
that's on her, and like I'm still going to be there for my brother and my dad, and like I'm going to like get through this. And it doesn't make it easier, but I also didn't, like, blame myself. Like, oh, if I had just been a better son, my mom would have stuck around. Like, that never crossed my mind. But I know a lot of people who, like, when their parents got divorced, they were like, it was their fault. And I'm like, that never made sense to me. I was
right.
Like, how do you think it's your fault? Like, what part of you blames you? And, like, I don't know if there's a piece of my brain missing or, like,
right,
a piece of, like, that just is different.
Well, no,
like,
I think that some of it is, like, just those internal damages that people so frequently disregard because they're not doing the self-reflection that they need to do. Right.
Yeah.
This is a really healthy thing. Except for when bourbon's involved. These conversations.
It's a healthy drink.
Right. These conversations are very positive.
Yeah.
For your mental well-being. I don't even mean like positive in outlook or positive in any other way.
Yeah, no,
like,
you bring some energizers up in
pop. Right, yeah. Motherfucker. But yeah, so like, I don't know. I think that people should utilize self-reflection a little bit more because it can tell you a little bit more about who you are, about how to solve problems in your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes, maybe people need that coach as a catalyst.
To like kick themselves into those things.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird, like, this is a whole nother tangent that we don't need to go down, but, like, I think it's weird when people aren't authentically themselves, too. So, like, on this show, like, while we play characters of ourselves a little bit, like,
yeah,
and we're a little more grandiose or whatever, or a little bit more belligerent, like...
Belligerent. Very true.
We are essentially who we are,
yeah,
right? Like, for the most part. Maybe, like, 10% louder.
Yeah, right. Right.
Which is real fucking loud.
That's very loud.
But yeah, we're essentially the same people. But then you have, I know people who like they are not genuinely themselves at all times. And like, obviously, like in the middle of a fucking business meeting or whatever at Target, like I'm more contained, but I am still me. Like,
yeah,
I still make jokes.
Well, yeah, and
I
so
still,
like
that's
what,
yeah.
So that's one of the, I mean, not to make this about business, because it is about emotion, right? And it is about character and personality. But like for me, like I'm a very different person than you are.
Yeah.
Right. Like, when it comes to business, you and I are, while we have a lot of similarities,
yeah,
we are very different.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like, I don't know. I don't know how you would explain the differences between the two of us. That man is gonna fucking pick somebody up.
Yeah, I know, that man is trolling for some motherfucker.
Bro!
No windows.
No
hashtag,
fucking windows.
Hashtag no windows.
But, like, I don't know. When I was at my previous employer and I looked up at all of the positions above me, I saw that there was just a lot of people who were very buttoned up, very business,
yeah,
at all times.
Mm.
And like, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not me in the very, like,
yeah,
at all.
Not at all.
At all.
Yeah.
And so then I had this really eye-opening experience back in September. I think it was early September or late September, where the regional vice president came into my store to visit, and I sat down with her. It was right before she retired, and we sat, we had coffee, and she was talking to me, and she was talking to me like an old friend. She's talking to me and cracking jokes and having a good time.
Yeah.
Making fun of herself, making fun of, like, my boss and, like, his boss who was there with him. And it was just, it was the greatest experience, not only because it was a good time and not because it was, you know, coffee bringing people together, which I love, but it was also this eye-opening experience for me where, like, when I was at my previous employer, I looked up and I saw no one who even resembled my character. And then I see this person who's able to have fun and be business oriented at the same time, not only above me, not only above the person that's above me, but above that person.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so like, as I look up, I see opportunity because there are people who can be a little quirky, be a little different, be a little weird.
Yep.
And be successful at the same time.
Yeah.
I don't know how I got to that point. Oh, you're talking about
being your genuine self.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
That is something that I think Target's like working really hard on now. It's like they want you to be your genuine self. They don't want you to be Target. They want you to be your genuine person. And like, it's weird to me when I run into people, like, and it happens all the time at Target where you run into somebody and like they're, or any company really, like it doesn't have to be Target, but you run into these people and they're like, they're a different person, like completely different in business than they are outside of. And again, I swear no matter what. Like, I swear on this podcast. The only place I don't swear is in front of my grandma. And I keep it in check when I'm on the sales floor because, like, I'm not going to swear in front of a bunch of guests. Like, it's very unprofessional. But, like, I had a meeting.
No.
There was a time when I had a meeting or a visit with a DTL, and I walked with them, and they asked me a question, and I said, yep, no, we got tons of that shit. And, like, I just said it just like that. Like,
yeah.
That's how, and, like, and they were fine with it because, like, that's who I am. Like, they know that.
Right.
And, like, I am being my genuine self. Like, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not being, like, unprofessional. I'm being very genuine with you and, like,
right.
That's the type of people I want to be around. I want to be around people who can be genuine and they don't feel like they need to put on a show.
Yeah.
Or lose themselves.
And even more importantly, like, the reason you want to be around those people is because then that gives you an open door to be yourself.
Yeah.
If you're around people who are buttoned up and, like, acting
then
like they're...
Then you are.
Yeah, yeah. As soon as you're around people who look like they're robots wearing human skin, and they're like, they're focusing, and they're like, okay, left foot, right foot, left foot.
Breathe.
Handshake.
Yeah. How are you today?
Fucking no.
Warm smile.
Yeah, because that will be off-putting. That will...
But I get the reputation all the time that, like, I'm, oh, well, you know, like, you might be a little too fun-loving.
Right.
It's like, that's how I fucking build teams.
Yes.
Like, you know why everybody's so ride or die with me at Target? Because they fucking love me. Because I'm genuine with them. They know when I say shit to them, they're like, yeah, this guy means what he's saying. Like, he's not trying to be an asshole, and he's not being corny and stupid. Like, the things I say are genuine.
Like, yeah. Well, and, like, that's another thing. Like, for me, it's really weird. I was thinking about this the other day in the car, and I was thinking about how odd it is, like, how I've transformed as a leader since you mentored me into a leader.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you were that catalyst for me, and then from there, like, you and I...
Right.
Yeah! And then you and I have, like, kind of diverged.
Me too.
Oh my god, you're so fucking stupid. Come on. Eric Thomas is gonna get this shit shut down.
Yeah, I know, right?
So...
Breed University on there,
motherfucker? Yeah, oh, you're talking shit, got it.
Shit, get shot.
So... We diverged at that point. Not immediately, but pretty soon after that we diverged. And I feel like you and I are very different. We learned a lot from each other, I think.
Yeah,
I
think we're both good leaders.
Yeah.
I just think, like, different types of leaders.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, one of the things that my team now, especially, they've never seen me mad.
Yeah.
Like there are times when I think through these exchanges that I have with my team, and I'll be like, I am so mad right now. And everybody's like, are you?
Are you though?
And I'm like, yes, I'm so mad.
Oh, burn it, motherfucker, to
hell. And like the whole time I'm smiling like that, right? And they're like, I don't know what is going on, right? But I've kind of started using that as a tool, right? So like, because I have such a positive outlook, and because I'm going through this reinvention of myself, I feel like it's really powerful now that I am always on the up and up.
Up and up.
I got you, bud.
Always on the up and up.
Right. I'm always on the up and up.
That's an up and up.
And then all of a sudden, if something is very serious, I can have a serious tone. Like, I don't even have to be angry. I just have a serious tone.
Yeah.
And I talk to someone and I say something very direct to them. And then all of a sudden, that's like, their world is blown.
Yeah.
And I'm not angry. Yeah. And I'm not saying it in a mean way. I'm just saying, I'm literally just spewing facts at you. And so I've removed the smile from my face and I'm just talking.
Yeah.
And they're like,
uh-oh.
Okay, well, let's take that seriously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that's really cool, because one of the things, like, not that I think that you're always pissed off or that you've ever yelled at anyone. I mean, you have. You have yelled at people. You've yelled at me before.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think I'm much better about that now. Like, I don't yell at people, but I do, like, and again, I'm a genuine person throughout, right? So, like, once my team knows that, they know if I'm talking to them, like, about something like that, like, it must be serious. If I'm joking around with them, I am joking around with them, and, like, they know, like, to take me at face value, and so, like, that I really appreciate. So, I think you're right, like, there are, like, I wear my emotions on my sleeve much more than maybe you do in that regard, at least. Like, like, I'm much more passionate about things, and I display it more than you do.
Yes.
But, like, I will, like, my team never wastes time wondering about what I'm thinking, right? Like, because, like, I will tell you, if I'm upset with you, you're going to hear about it. You're going to know exactly what you did and what not to do next time, because you've done fucked up.
Right.
Like, and they know that. And I think once my teams know that, like, they're super comfortable with me, because, like, then, like, I had this team member the other day who told me, like, and this is a team member who did not like me when I first started at this store.
Yeah.
And they're like, we were talking and they were like, there was like a cart with a sign on it that said, like, don't put things in this cart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another team member's cart. And like, I really like that team member too. This team member who was in the room with me was like, no, don't put things in this cart. Maybe I should throw a bunch of stuff on it like they do to my stuff. And like, they're saying this while like their boss,
oh, no.
Their boss's boss is in there using a computer. And like, I look back and I was like, you're funny. Like, but it just makes me happy, because I'm like, I love that my team is that comfortable with me. Like, they know, like I'm not going to get in trouble for making a joke right now in front of Mikey. Like, he's never going to be mad about that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't leave that room, and I guarantee you, they weren't like, shit, is Mikey going to go talk to that team member? Or is Mikey going to throw him in the bus? Or am I going
defend myself? No, that's not what it's about. Like, if you're maliciously out there doing some dastardly shit, then maybe, we'll have a conversation. But at the end of the day, you're not. You're just trying to have fun at work.
Yeah.
Like, who wouldn't love to have fun at work?
Yeah, exactly.
It's great. Like, and that's one of the things that, like, that's why I try to embody that at work, right? I've never been the kind of person who's crass at work. Remember when we talked about robots wearing human skin? That's me right now. Okay, I need you.
Slide up.
There is nothing that I...
Reaching for a while.
I literally cannot stand business people who are crass at work. Like, when I think about this, and I think you'll understand, when I think about this, I think about when I used to work at Kroger. There were a bunch of old workers. And like when I say old workers, I don't mean in age, I mean like in business
stuff. Yeah, like they've been there for a while and they were old school.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they'll make ass and dick jokes.
Yeah.
There is nothing I despise more.
Yeah.
Than people who will do that.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, let's have fun at work. Let's keep it PG-13.
Yeah, like, right? And like you don't have to make, like, you don't have to push it to a place where other people, you may impact other people, make them uncomfortable. Like, that's not okay.
That's not okay. Yeah. Not okay at all.
Yeah.
Why would anyone do that?
Yeah.
So, like, let's have some good, wholesome fun. Let's throw around the word shit fucking damn every now and then.
Yeah.
To make a point.
I said that in front of a team member the other day. I said shit. Or, no, I said fuck.
I said, oh, fuck. No!
And I didn't mean to, and it was under my breath. But, like, it was, like, fucking storming like crazy yesterday in Perrysburg, right?
Oh, okay.
And I was, like, covering the front, and a team member needed, or was supposed to go out and get carts. But our cart pusher was broken, and so it's, like, raining like hell, and she clearly didn't want to go out. And I was like, give me just a second. Can you just jump on lanes for me then instead of going to your break? Because she was supposed to like go get carts and go to her break.
Yeah.
Like, could you just jump on lanes because we're like backup city? And she's like, yeah, sure. Okay. And then I'll go get carts. So she jumps on lanes. I go and grab my gloves. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go out and get carts. Like, and I just had the like Surface Ice listen while I'm walkie or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to go grab carts. And she's like, no, you don't have to go. I'll go get them. Like, I'll just jump on lanes real quick. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. Who cares? And then, like, it occurred to me that I had just sworn on a sales floor, and I was like, I mean, like, I was like,
What I mean is,
it doesn't matter to me if you get them or I get them. And she was like, I really like the way you said it the first time. And I was like, great. I'm gonna go get the carts. You take care of the lanes. I'll be back.
Don't tell anybody. Damn it all.
I didn't mean to.
She probably got online the first customer she helped. She was like, that's me, boss. He said fuck. And they said the F.
God damn it.
Karen. Never live this one down. Nah. Come on.
That's been another episode of Two Guys with Raging Goals. If you like that, like, share, subscribe to the human... Wait, what? The robots wearing human skin. To the robots wearing human skin.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys, and we'll catch you on the next one. Later.